Good evening. Good to be here. Good to see each one of you here for this song service this evening. Psalm 117, I believe, takes the credit for being the center chapter of the Bible, and it's also the shortest chapter of the Bible. Two verses, it says, "O praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." I don't think that specifically mentions singing in there, but certainly singing is a very real part of praising the Lord. So we want to do that here in this service tonight, for sure. Give the order of the service. We're thankful to have Brother Stan Sensnick here with us again. He will be leading our song service this evening. And glad to have Brother John Sensnick with us as well. And we'll look to him for a short devotional somewhere in the middle. I'll let that up to your discretion, Stan, as to where that'll be. Let's worship. God bless.
It's been many years since I was privileged to sing out of the Zion's praises. Back when I was in school, we sang out of the Zion's praises all the time, so I hope you aren't tired of the Zion's praises, but I would like to sing from, as we call them, the ZPs. All right, we're going to start with number 46. We're going to sing a few old familiar hymns. We're going to sing a few maybe newer ones. Depending on how it goes, I might even ask for selections, but I'm not going to promise that because I wrote down a whole bunch of songs I want to sing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12. 13 that I've written down, plus I have a couple more in the back of my head, so we'll see how that goes. But we want to enjoy singing, worshiping, making a joyful noise tonight. So number 46, I feel it's appropriate to start out with the song of praise and adoration, no matter if it's a song service or a Sunday morning service. Good practice to start out with the reason why we get together to sing. Number 46, Christ, we do all adore thee.
Oh, Christ.
Turn to number 397. Fanny J. Crosby has over 6,000 hymns that are attributed to her. And if you had to say which was her most popular hymn, which one people enjoy the most, I don't know. We might have a hard time, but I would say this one comes pretty close. All right, I must have written down the wrong song already. Here we go. Blessed Assurance. Can anybody quickly tell me what number that one is? Four ninety-seven. Maybe her most popular, most sought after hymn. The one that we love the most. 6,000 hymns. That's a lot of hymns, by the way, isn't that? 6,000. Verse 2, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst in my sight. You ladies, we'll let you sing that, and then you be quiet, and we men will sing, angels descending, bring from above. All right.
Oh, oh.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, let for taste of glory mine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
That's our testimony tonight. Some days we don't feel like singing. Some days we just feel like moping in the corner. But I'm sure if we look around, we can find something good to sing about. And 341 is another Fannie J. Crosby song that I think gives us something good to sing about. 341. All right, let's stand as we sing it. We'll sing... Oh, we're going to sing all the verses. I guess they're all too good to skip. Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Oh,
redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, 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 redeemed.
Maybe that is a little presumptuous to say, I'm his child. Or is it? Can we know that we're his child? Amen. We can know that. And I know there's some people go through life and they think, you know, am I truly born again? And they have doubts and they have fears. And, you know, we're living in an era that is marked by cynicism. Cynicism. You know what I mean by cynicism? Basically, almost everything you hear, everything that is presented in the news or wherever, you almost say, now, wait a minute. Who's that saying it? I don't know if I can believe it. Our country is a very cynical country right now. A lot of people are divided. They don't know what to believe. But there's some things we can know. Amen? There's some things we can know and that we can be assured of. One of them is, his child and forever I am. That's a beautiful, beautiful promise. And there's another song here. Let me see if I can find it. 501. You might know which one it is coming up here. 501. Sing the first and last verses here.
I know that my Redeemer lives and on the earth, again shall stand. I know eternal life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. I know
.785, another song about something we can know. And while you're turning there, I'll tell a story that I thought of recently. When I was 12 years old, any boys here that are 12 years old? Kipton, you're 12? Okay, anybody else that's 12? Any girls that are 12? Okay, a couple here. So when I was 12 years old, our family was living on a farm, and my father moved. Our parents moved our family to another farm, and my father decided that we needed a shop. And so he hired a Mennonite man to come in and build a shop. And this was back in the days before electric garage door openers. See, how many of you, do you all have electric garage? You've seen electric garage door openers. You push a button and the door goes up. You know what I mean by electric? Okay. So this man built the shop, and as he was building it, my brother and I were walking around there, and he told us, he said, hey, this shop has a special feature. He said, if you snap your finger and stump your foot at the right time, the garage door goes out. I was like, no way. Yeah. And I said, well, let me see you do it. So he, the garage door went out. I couldn't believe it. He did it again. Garage door went out. And so my brother and I was 12. You know, my brother is probably 14 at the time. I said, you think we could do it? Oh, sure. But you have to do it just right. You have to snap and then stomp. He said, if you do it too close, it won't work. So didn't go up. Try it again. Wouldn't go up. No, he said, you just snap and then right away stop. Too fast. It went up. I couldn't believe it. The door had gone up. Well, that afternoon we tried at different times, and he was there, and it would go up sometimes, wouldn't always. But we went into supper, and I told my dad that this garage door is a magical door. I was all excited about that. I don't know if my dad knew it. He probably did. But after supper, we went out there. We were snapping and stumping. Couldn't get it to go. The next day, he came back, and it would work. Couldn't believe it. What I didn't know, I'd have been smart enough now, that there's such a thing as a garage door opener button. And he had it hidden in his little pocket. Little secret button. And at the right time, he could push the button and make the door go up. All right? What does that story have to do with the song that we're about to sing? Our God, He is alive. I talked about cynicism. We live in a world where a lot of things are not what they appear. A lot of people out there trying to get you to believe false things. And that man was just having fun with us. His name was Ivan. He was a Joe Wanger fella, a nice old man. But he was having fun with me. But there's a lot of people that aren't doing these kind of deceptive things to have fun. They want you to actually believe something that's a complete lie. And so you got to be a little bit alert and got to watch. This song talks about something that is not a lie, something that we know for a fact that is true. Great. 785. Trying to tell you something that didn't happen.
this song tells us something that did happen. And you know, we can sit here and sing it as a group. There is a God. Which, by the way, you all sing very well. Got good strong voices here. But sometimes when we're out in public and we can feel kind of alone, it doesn't always feel like there is a God. Sometimes you kind of feel like, oh, God. So hope there's a God. I mean, everybody around me is talking about evolution of monkeys, and I don't think there is a God. But let's sing this as first, and when we get that chorus, let's really make it sound like it's something we believe, like we did one.
Our God, who sung upon a tree,
one more song before the devotions. Let's go to 710. This is an old familiar. I'm told that the author was 16 years old when he penned these words. 710. By Jesus, I love thee. And as you think about a 16-year-old, I think of the words first love. First love. Somebody who's come to Christ and they're excited about it, and they're thrilled to be a son or a daughter of Christ. And this song uses very simple, very tender language to describe those feelings. And if you're my age, not quite 50, but getting there, maybe older, maybe even younger, sometimes it's just good to think back what that actually felt like when you realize that, you know what, I'm no longer in a position where I'm an enemy of God. But I'm actually his son, I'm actually his daughter. And he loves me, and I love him. And this song uses beautiful language to describe that. 710.
Oh, oh, oh. My Jesus, I love. My gracious Redeemer, my
Greetings in the name of the soon returning Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For devotions, we want to address the subject of anticipation. You may turn with me to a familiar verse in Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We all anticipate things occasionally, and often they are minor things. But sometimes we anticipate something that is of great importance to us, like buying a new vehicle, building a new house, going on a trip, or anticipating Bible school. Courting couples anticipate their wedding day, and young married couples anticipate the birth of their first child. Sometimes when we have high anticipation, we are disappointed because the anticipated thing is just not as great as we thought it would be. A few months ago, a man's boss told me that the company will order me a new truck, and it should be here in 5 weeks. During this time, I look forward to driving that new truck. It actually took 8 weeks to arrive, and one day I told him, "We can hardly wait for that truck to get here." He said that anticipation is almost the greatest thing about getting a new truck. Now I have had the truck for a while and the excitement has faded. The glow of anticipation does not always fade, like the excitement of getting married or the joy of a baby being born. All these things the unbeliever can also anticipate. But one thing that only we believers anticipate with joy is the second coming of Jesus. To the unbeliever, this is a dreadful thought. But to us, it is the greatest anticipation of all. One that will not result in disappointment or fading of joy, but in something far beyond we could have ever imagined. If you're struggling, remember this marvelous anticipation. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Look, I'd like to read a slogan yet and a song, two verses of it yet, before I have prayer. Look for the Lord's return every day. This is truly the greatest anticipation we can have. Oh, sing to me of heaven when I am called to die. Sing songs of holy ecstasy to warp my soul on high. Then to my raptured ear, let one sweet song begin. Let music cheer me last on earth and greet me first in heaven. There will be no sorrow there. There will be no sorrow there. In heaven above where all is love, there will be no sorrow there. It's my prayer as we go from here and to our places aboard later on. Shall I have the congregation lead us in the kneeling prayer with me standing at the podium? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the way you led us in right paths. We thank you for this song service. We thank you for Brother Stanley as he leads out some more. And we thank you for his willingness to preach this morning the message. And Lord, as we go from here serving you, may we do so in the fear of God. For this we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
That was good, John. Anticipation. We all have things we look forward to, and sometimes we We're so caught up in looking forward to the next thing in life that we miss the good stuff right now. You know? Very good. Let's sing 643. That talks about heaven, what we're anticipating. No. Sing one more song that I have, and then I think I'll open up. I was told that when you ask for selections here, you usually get pretty many, so we'll sing them one at a time, because I do have a few more I do want to get to. But anyhow, 538, it's another old gospel hymn, and I'm going to tell the children a story about this song. So I am deathly scared of heights. I don't like climbing up high things. I always joke about, I don't mind going up on a ladder as long as I can keep my one foot in the ground. I go as high as you want me to go. But as I think back to where my fear, my deathly afraid fear of heights came from, it's probably when I got to think how old I was, probably in my, it had to be about 8 to 10 years old. So we went to visit the neighboring farmer down the road from us. And you know how boys do, they all go running out to the barn, and there was a silo. Oh, silo. I grew up in a pig farm, we didn't have a silo. So, buzz over to the silo, let's climb the silo. I climb. Didn't stop, I'm young, you know, all the way to the top, stop. Look down. And all I remember happening next is everything going black. And then it started to get a little bit of light. And then I realized I'm hanging on to a ladder. My feet are on another rung. I'm on this rung. And way, way down there were my brothers and friends looking up, yelling and waving. And I was petrified, so much that I was frozen. I couldn't move. I shouldn't have done that. Little boys, if you never climbed a silo, like climb one step, look, another step, look. That's how you climb a silo, I think. although I don't know because I never did it since. So I'm there, and I think, okay, well, here I am. I guess the safe place is down, and I need to get down, so I'm going to have to somehow get this hand loose, and I grabbed hold of that one. Okay, now I have a left hand too. Okay, that one. Grab hold of that one. And I did that the whole way till I got to the bottom. And like I said, I've never climbed up to the top of a silo ever after that. Closest I got to going up high, and Mark Sensnick's back there, I think he might know this story, was when I spent about half a day trying to set grain bins at Keystone Mills above a scale, and that didn't go so well. I came down off that, and I think at that point, one of the people said, wouldn't you do a better cleaning out underneath the scale with the pressure washer? Any day, I'll gladly go under there with the pressure washer. I'll clean out all that rotten feed, but I'm not going up there on that thing. There's a verse that I would like to help you think about. This verse is, unto him who is able to what? Keep you from falling. Many times in life, as you get older, it might not be up on a silo, but it's just in life. You're sitting there and you're petrified. You're scared. There's something staring you in the face. Maybe you got to get up and have devotions for the first time. Or, you ladies, you got a newborn baby and you're going to have to raise this thing. Right? And you're petrified. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. And in many times in life, we need what this song talks about. A hand that is hanging on to ours. So we'll sing verses 1 and 3, and then I'll take a couple of selections. Not too many, though.
Me to the best I can. For
scare you off now. I'm sorry.
573.
573. Good to see you, Eve. 573. Here we go. I feel like traveling on. Why don't we stand as we sing this song?
I think one more after this. So, what much can happen, right? Oh.
What's the next selection? 705. 705. I got to decide which ones we're going to skip here. All right. There's a good song in heaven. There's mansions up here in New York along those Finger Lakes, aren't there? We don't need those things. We got a better one coming, huh? All right, 705. Oh.
Thank you.
turn to 807. I have a story that I wasn't sure if I was going to tell or not. And I think I'm going to tell it because it includes a detail that maybe some of you would find interesting. It's a story that actually some of you know and some of you were involved in. So it happened in November of 2002. Anybody know what I'm going to tell about? November 2002. We were living here in New York, and we would sell firewood over the winter because we couldn't mow lawns in the winter, so we sold firewood, and we got a phone call from a customer who said, "I'm a very busy man. I want my firewood to be delivered the day before Thanksgiving, and it needs to be at my house between 12 and 12:15 because I come home from work at 12, and I leave again for work at 12:15. And I want my firewood at that exact moment, the day before Thanksgiving." And so we said, we will get it there at that time. And so we were, my wife and I, trying to decide if we were going to go or at what time we were going to leave for Pennsylvania, because my wife's folks lived in Pennsylvania. We were going to be with them for Thanksgiving. And so the last minute, I said, you know what? I don't think I have to do this firewood load. I'm going to get Kevin Newsbaum, to do the firewood load for me. And he said, oh, sure, he'll gladly do the firewood load for me. And then we could leave early to get down to be with my wife's folks for Thanksgiving. And so Kevin left, and it was a very snowy day. And we were packing up to go to Thanksgiving meal. And then we saw on the caller ID, I think, Lydia, did you answer the phone? And it says, NYS State Police. That's not a good, it's not a good thing to see on your on your caller ID. And she answered and they said, do you have a truck up on Route 318 I gotta think, your 96A, wherever that was? And yeah, we do. Okay. Could you come into the Geneva Hospital? What do you mean? Oh, your driver's been in an accident. Come to the Geneva Hospital. And I remember we went in there to the Geneva Hospital, my dad and I and Marlon Holt, brother-in-law. And Kevin had been living at that time with my parents. Some of you remember this story not so long ago. You remember that, Tim, right? And I'm sure some of you. And so we went in there, and I remember coming in there totally unprepared. I thought, oh, Kevin was in a bad rack, but I didn't know what had happened. And there was Kevin, and he was gone. He was dead. And talked to the, there was a chaplain came and wanted to talk to us, and he prayed with us, and we were just totally, I couldn't even begin to form a response in my mind. He was only, I'm going to say 21 years old or something like that. And, well, anyhow. So, all afternoon we're cleaning up, coordinating, the truck was in pieces. And it was a Dodge pickup. And it had just been purchased. And that Dodge pickup was in many little pieces. Nothing big left. We took piece after piece after piece and working through that. And all of a sudden, about 12:15, and I was gone, but my wife took the phone call. She gets a call. And there is a very irate person on the other end of the line. I told you people that I am a busy man. I need to have that firewood there. Tomorrow's a big holiday. I can't come home tonight till 10 o'clock at night. I can't even put... Well, he was furiously mad. And we had completely forgotten it. Did we have reason to forget? You know, we thought maybe we had reason, but we should have probably not forgotten. And Lydia said to him, oh, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. She said, we forgot. She said, our driver was in an accident this morning and he was killed. And, but it was our mistake. I am so sorry. And you know what that man did? The phone went completely quiet. He's like, he said, like a 21-year-old fella? He said, no way. He said, I'm a doctor at Geneva General Hospital. He said, I just was working on this young fellow. He was as good as can be from there away. I don't know how many times he bought firewood, but he was okay then. A little detail that we'd kind of forgotten over the years and recently told some, but that doctor was pretty shocked when he realized that here was this young fellow. This song is something that I feel I didn't learn when I was young. And maybe it's just impossible to learn. Maybe you have to have some of these life experiences to actually learn it. But you get a few of these knocks in life. Person close to you is killed. I think my brother Justin was in a bad accident weeks before that and was at that funeral in a cast or something like that. So for the young people here, don't just think it's always going to be this way. You know, in a moment we can be taken away. There's a better future awaiting, but be kind to the people you're working with. Be kind to the people you live with. Be kind to your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, because sometimes we don't know when our last day will be. I don't think we're going to sing all these verses here, but maybe we'll sing, is there a verse 1 and a 3 here? Teach me, O Lord, to number my days, all right? Oh, well, we're going to end with the positive song, and it's one that we're going to sing by memory. So, and I was going to say this, I forgot. When I got here this morning, I walked out, and I looked at Kevin's grave. It's right outside the building here. He was buried here at this building. Well, the song that I want to end with is a positive song, and it talks about the hope and the courage that we can have in life. Today we talked about how sometimes our needs feel so big and so overwhelming. And we sang about, you know, different things that we look forward to. But if you ever fear the future or you fear the problems that you're facing, remember that the reason we have life is because Christ gave his life for us. And because he lives, we can live. And this song is entitled, Because He Lives. God sent his son, they called him, I guess you know this, they called him Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And there's some really good verses here. So why don't we sing this as our closing song?